You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.
Welcome back. We're in conversation with Dr. Richmond See, gastroenterologist at the Ottawa Hospital, professor in the Department of Medicine, Division of Gastroenterology at the University of Ottawa, and continuing our conversation about Crohn's disease. And as we've mentioned, we're going to have Don from Ottawa South. Let me just get him on. And welcome, Don. How are you?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Do you have a question for Dr. See?
Yes, I heard about the two biological agents, and I just barely caught the names, and I was wondering if I could get the names and the spellings, because they might be helpful to one of my family members.
Absolutely, Don. So the first one, I'm glad you asked anyways, because these, as I said, there hasn't been any new treatments until the last 10 years where we've had just an explosion treatments. And because we don't have a cure, the more treatment options we have, I think the better. And I think the biological agents are basically a boon to some of these patients with Crohn's disease that have really gotten them back to a normal lifestyle. The first one that was created is called Remicade. And okay. Remicade is basically a biological agent. When I mean by biological agents, they're basically antibodies that are manufactured. And these antibodies go up against the T cell of the human body that produces these inflammation. So it's sort of like a smart anti-inflammatory. It just attacks one particular type of inflammatory cell. And Remicade basically is an infusion, meaning that you have to have an IV and you have to go to a clinic and get you infused every about 8 weeks on average. Mm-hmm. The newest one is
Can I get the spelling for that one, doctor?
Oh, sure. R-E-M. Yeah. I-C-A-I-D-E.
A-I-D-E? Okay.
That's correct.
As much as it spells. Okay.
And then the second one, the one that's the just released, basically the newest one, it's called Humira. H-U-M-I-R-A.
I-R-A. Okay. And that's one you do in the home, right?
Right. And the difference is basically instead of an IV infusion where you have to be in an IV clinic and basically get infused for about a couple hours. This one is a self-injectable drug where basically you just have to inject what they've created these pens that inject under your skin, and you can do them at home or you can do them at work or school. So it's a little bit more convenient than being in an infusion clinic. And you do them about every 2 weeks. And the other difference between Humira and Remicade is that these antibodies that were created are now fully human, as opposed to Remicade, where some of it is actually mouse protein. So perhaps the advantage of that is that you might have less side effects with the fully human one, because it more mimics the human body's antibodies.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling, Don.
Okay, have a good day.
Thanks. Bye-bye now. And we're going to go to line 7. And John, good afternoon.
Hi, is this me?
That's you, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just wondering I think you were speaking earlier about MAP and Crohn's.
Yes.
The mycobacterium. I was wondering, in Dr. C's opinion, what more sort of tests would be required to prove conclusively that mycobacterium might cause Crohn's in a subset of patients. I know there was a study in The Lancet that came out that showed that a highly statistically significant odds ratio of 7-1 of an association between MAP and Crohn's. And I know also that the study in Australia was kind of highly criticized by other peers for just the study design was flawed, and some of the conclusions were flawed. And I know that with some mycobacteria like M. leprae, antibiotic regimens have to be given for 5 years sometimes, and even then eradication doesn't work. And I was wondering sort of what more needs to be done to get more research towards the MAP theory, looking into it more, because it seems kind of like an orphaned theory.
Well, that's a great question, and the cause of Crohn's disease has so far been elusive to us, but it's going to take research like this, where we explore all the options and keep an open mind so that we can find out the cause of Crohn's disease. And I think looking at the Mycobacterium again, the reason why it's so popular that perhaps infectious etiology to Crohn's disease may be in play is because of those granuloma-like lesions that you can find on some biopsies when you take tissue samples from a patient with Crohn's disease. Now, I think to really find cause and effect and to prove that, you're going to basically need more labs trying to confirm the findings of this one research group in Australia before the whole community embraces it as a whole. And again, I think some of the labs that have tried to reproduce this data haven't been able to do it. And I know Mycobacterium can be very difficult to grow sometimes. And so that may be part of the problem. Also, Crohn's disease is better heterogeneous. So the presentation can be different from one patient to another. Again, as I said, some people can have Crohn's disease just at the typical location, at the small bowel, where the small bowel and large bowel meets together. Or they can have it in atypical presentations, maybe in the stomach or just at the rectum. And it can be quite difficult to figure out the diagnosis because it can present so differently from one patient to another. So we don't know if perhaps there's more than one factor occurring with these patients. Perhaps there's geographical variations. Perhaps in Australia, where they're testing their patients, there may be more Mycobacterium in their population as opposed to populations in North America, where Mycobacterium is probably not as prevalent. So it's hard to say again, and I think more research is required to try to confirm some of these findings.
Could more clinical trials be done with the antibiotics? I know it's kind of tough. Some of the antibiotics they're using aren't even specific for a MAP. They're just mm-hmm. specific for MAC or M. tuberculosis.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more research on the antibiotics themselves.
Well, it's always difficult to try to do large-scale clinical trials on patients regarding treatment based on, I guess, a theory. I really do think you have to do the bench research, the science part of it first before we go on to human testing, basically for safety reasons. And even though it may sound attractive or straightforward or it makes sense, well, why don't we just treat everybody with antibiotics? You pointed out yourself, well, it is difficult to eradicate these type of agents sometimes, and it does take a long time to treat. So these patients are going to be under antibiotic treatment for a long period of time, and of course there can be side effects. So we don't really want to put patients into harm before we're sure of what we're doing. And we think that the risk basically are worth it for the benefit.
Okay. John, actually, we have to actually cut it a bit short because we're just about running out of time.
Can I squeeze in one more?
Actually, we've only got about 40 seconds left, so unfortunately we can't.
I was just wondering if I know some of the Humira and Remicade, they might be having activity against MAP because the TNF is bound to the macrophages that might contain the MAP. I was just wondering quickly if that sort of seems plausible, that they might be actually killing the bacteria inadvertently and not sort of stopping the inflammatory process.
Yeah, unfortunately, John, we actually are pretty much out of time. We're at the point where I'm going to be thanking Dr. C for his time here today. And I'd love to have you back on, Dr. C, to talk further about Crohn's and also had a whole slew of stuff to talk about colon cancer and diet and treating GERD and peptic ulcer disease. So there's no shortage of things to talk about.
Well, it'd be my pleasure to come back if you'll have me, Dr. Gorkin.
Absolutely. I'd love to have you back. And I'd like to thank you once again for taking the time to talk about Crohn's and some of the treatments available.
Great. Thank you very much.
All the best.
Okay.
Dr. Richmond C. is gastroenterologist at the Ottawa Hospital, professor in the Department of Medicine, Division of Gastroenterology at the University of Ottawa. Coming up, your calls at 1-800-580-2372, general questions. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin. You're listening to Sunday House Call.